Hello, Texans. Welcome to the program. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris with you as we get ready for the draft, for the schedule release in a few weeks, for the uniform reveal. The videos are out. Well, they're teasers, really, right? Everybody's wanting more. You're not going to get it just yet, but soon enough you will. Can't wait for that. And also, Johnny, since it's NRG Stadium, and that's where this show originates from, the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio, we have various events coming in here, including but not limited to the Rolling Stones a week from Sunday. They will be here, and they're old, but they're still good.
During draft weekend, of course.
Well, I want to have Mick Jagger on the show on Saturday to evaluate the draft, or maybe Keith Richards. That bloke who plays wide receiver is very good. I think you should really benefit from that. Could you imagine being in the hallway, like in between bathroom breaks or whatever, right, during the draft, and you just bump into Mick Jagger?
Well, the other thing, too, is, and I've realized this, watching now as much Premier League as I do, they call the soccer players over there footballers. So if they start talking about footballers, you got to, like, are you talking about the soccer players? You're talking about the football players. So you've got to differentiate. But yeah, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards doing draft analysis would be very, very funny.
It's legendary now, but when they were here in 2003, that was the first time that they were at NRG Stadium. This will be the third visit for them. Jagger actually worked out in the bubble. He had a workout in the Houston Methodist Training Center practice bubble. Yes. And the last tour in 2019, remember that tour was delayed because he had the heart attack
I remember that.
And then he posted that video of him dancing in the studio getting ready for the tour. And it was, oh my gosh,
he looked like he was 70s. 40. I mean, it was like he was 30 to 40 years younger, seemingly.
Yeah, I think he looked like he was in his 20s the way he moves. He moves like Jagger, which is convenient for him.
He does move
since
like
the song
Jagger
is named after him. Anyway, Jagger, I don't know if he would qualify for the NFL draft, but we always talk some draft here. In the next segment, we'll do who's better, and there's some draft stuff in there. But, Johnny, I thought we'd do this. You did Texans Audio Jukebox last night with C.J. Stroud, but I thought it's time to get to some D'Amico Ryans stuff. Why don't we start it off with his take? He was asked about the acquisition of wide receiver Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, with Diggs, adding him is one of those guys I talked about. He's been a great player in this league for a long time, well respected. He's been a great teammate. He's been a leader, a captain. And when you look at him and you watch the tape and you put it on, you know, no one doubts the playmaker that he is, right? He changes games for the teams that he's been a part of, and we're anticipating the same thing for us.
Well, clearly he's excited about Stephon Diggs. There's no question about it. It's another playmaker. He was asked about the chemistry situation with Diggs in the locker room because, of course, that was going to come up in the conversation. But there's nothing to see here because it's the Houston Texans. They feel like they've got a good group, Johnny. They've got a good foundation chemistry-wise, otherwise, and they should be able to perform very well with Stephon Diggs.
So, I mean, use this comparison. I remember when I was we're talking to Robert Smith and Indy Clue about this, you know, teaching early on when I was teaching. I taught at Episcopal High School in Jacksonville, and there were a lot of really smart students that went through there. And so I would listen to the teachers complain, oh, this kid doesn't do the work, he doesn't do this, she doesn't do this, all that. And I was like, you have so many good students. What are you complaining about?
Yeah.
Like, help the one that needs the help. Like, there's going to be somebody. So how good a teacher you are is how well you can help that particular individual.
Yeah.
And I think about that with D'Amico. And I'm not saying that D'Amico is not complaining at all, but it's like this locker room, pretty good. So if there becomes an issue, if the diva-ness shows up, well, D'Amico's the kind of guy to say, I handle this. I got this. That's where I feel really, really confident. If any issue ever rises, whether it's Diggs or anybody else, D'Amico's going to handle it. He's going to know how to handle it.
I think the players have it, too. Here's D'Amico on that subject, by the way.
Yeah, again, when we watch the tape on Stephon and the playmaker that he is, right, we always go back to the tape and we look at a player in totality. We don't look at, you know, this amount of weeks or those weeks. We look at the entire season. We look at the guy's entire career and what he's done, how he's been productive. The guy's been an all-pro player. He's been a Pro Bowl player, over 1,000 yards for multiple seasons. So we're excited about adding Diggs to our team.
And part of that question that led to that answer was about Diggs dropping off a little bit as the year went on. The Bills were winning as the year went on, and they were trying to run the ball effectively. Josh Allen running the ball a bit more. But if you just look at Diggs' numbers, you're not understanding the Buffalo Bills here, what they were trying to do, which is, look, Diggs was covered up so much of the time. Mm-hmm. Did they have a quality number two receiver or a high-octane number two or number three guy? Gabe Davis, good receiver, but he was banged up a lot.
Yeah, he was banged up a lot, and he's just a little, I don't know the right way of saying this, because he's going to be in Jacksonville, so we're going to see him. And look, I think he's a good receiver. He's just a little different. He's almost like he was just a deep shot or a bubble screen. He was like really not a lot in between. He made big, big plays, called bubble screens and ran. I don't know how to explain it, but Khalil Shakir is the guy who really kind of started stepping up for them because Diggs was getting a lot of the bracket coverage, doubles, all that kind of stuff. And so at some point, if you think about it, I don't want to say that you're happy about the guy you just brought in. Oh, he didn't have a great second half of the season or whatever. But the fact that he was doubled as much as he was.
Yes.
I mean, that would be kind of a sure sign of, hey, well, first of all, I don't know if he's going to end up getting doubled as much as he is here with what's already here in the wide receiver room. So I don't think he's going to see all of that. So if he does, guess what? There's a better duo or more around Diggs that will make teams pay more than what was around Diggs up in Buffalo. As much as I like Shakir, he's no Tank. He's no Nico. He's not. Gabe Davis, as much as I like Gabe Davis, he is not Nico or Tank. So
what
I think
about
there's
the tight
more
end
around Diggs.
Do tight now. Ends now. Do Joe Mixon now.
Yeah. No, I know. No, the tight ends were pretty good. Buffalo's going to be interesting. I was on with Sal last week, I think, talking about the Bills. They already needed receiver help before the Diggs trade.
Yeah.
Now they need everybody. But the flip side could be, you know what? They could just be changing their offense. They could just become a 12-personnel team because their two tight ends are studs. Kincaid and Knox are just fantastic.
They are, but I don't think Schultz is any slouch.
No,
right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And it's a different component when you're throwing to tight ends, especially tight ends like that.
No doubt.
Versus receivers. Look, I think that it's a completely different situation here. You're playing defense against the Houston Texans. What receiver are you doubling?
I think it's going to be time, score, position on the field dependent.
Who's
honestly
hot?
Yeah, it kind of has to be that. I think that's what's going to make the Texans, to me, very hard to defend because it's going to be one of those, okay, now I don't want it to mean that you come out in the first quarter and you just kind of play around a little bit until you figure out what they're going to do. I feel like you start attacking, and as you're attacking, you're going to realize, okay, well, they're taking away this. They're taking away this. They're giving us this and this. Okay, let's go to it. Let's do it. And as soon as you can get that in your mind, this is the way the game's being played, this is what they're taking away, and adapt accordingly, away you go. So I don't know what you take away. Honestly, I feel like taking Nico away. Don't give Tank the deep shots, and then what can I do to play underneath and over the top of Nico? But here's the thing, and I'll give you a great example of this. I think I did a telestrator on this. The Titans in week 17.
Oh, the one here.
The one here. That was week 17, right? Because 15 was Titans, 16 was Browns, 17 was Titans. Okay. So CJ was back for that game. So in that game, the Titans, there's a play down in the north end. Nico runs. He runs an out route. And the Titans were playing some sort of like, they're playing like man, two man. So they had a guy on Nico, and they had a safety over the top.
Yeah.
And this corner was playing basically a trail technique, which basically meant because he had help, he could play underneath Nico and follow him that way. So instead of being hip to hip, he kind of was to his back as Nico was running his route. So they were playing essentially a double coverage on Nico. CJ didn't care. He just threw that thing right to the sideline. Nico had the corner beat by just a little bit. Safety couldn't get over there. Completion, third down.
If you make that perfect throw with the receiver in stride.
Bingo. So you could take away all these receivers all you want. You could play double coverage on these receivers all you want. But with seven and where he could place the football, sometimes it doesn't matter. I mean, you could see that last year as a rookie. So if you're going to take guys away, boy, you better be rock solid with that coverage to be able to surely and definitely take it away, because he'll still beat you. And that play against the Titans, to me, stood out. I remember seeing it from my sideline. Like, boy, that's a pretty good throw. And then when I went back and I watched how they were trying to cover it, I'm like, boy, that's an even better throw, and a great catch and a good route and all that that go into it. So I don't know what you do. It's going to be really tough for teams to have to figure it out. So that's why those teams get paid the big bucks. Go ahead. Have fun.
All right. More from D'Amico Ryans as he was asked about the addition of Azeez Al-Shaire and later about the changes to the Texans front seven, the additions and such.
When we've added different guys to our team, of course, we had a lot of free agents last year. When you look at our team last year, with a lot of guys who were on one-year deals or the last year of their contract here. So teams change every year. Not something you're looking to do, change your team completely every year, but the teams change, you know, guys change, contracts are up, and we have to make certain moves. But I'm excited about the guys that we've added to our front. I feel like the front for us, offensively and defensively, like the front is the two most important pieces to how we operate as a team. And we want to be dominant up front on the offensive line and the defensive line. And, you know, we've added guys to that defensive line. I feel like that can help us continue to be a dominant force and help our team and help our defense play great football.
All right, guys have to move on. We all know that. It's pro football. He talked about the contract situations. There were going to be changes. He wanted to get stronger. He didn't really bite on, I said that I wanted this and we got it. He didn't really bite on that, Johnny. He knows that it's going to be a different team. It's almost like what Bill O'Brien used to say, but D'Amico says it in a different way. It's a different year. Mm-hmm. Every year is going to be different, unique. The team is a brand new team every year. I feel that way about this bunch. When we see these guys together, we're going to look at it and say, yeah, we see all the familiar faces and the key contributors, but there are a lot of new guys here, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think that's what made last year, you know, fun and frustrating at the same time. The frustrating part was just it ending, because there was such a good vibe with this team and the wins they were having and just the camaraderie that they were having. We talked about it, the camaraderie they had. We were talking about that with Will yesterday. You know, how does that come to be? But as long as you have a core that has that same belief and you carry that core forward, anybody that comes into the realm then is brought into a, and I'll never forget this. The Eagles traded for a defensive lineman, and I can't remember who it was. They traded for a few years ago. And they brought him in. Oh, it's Josh Sweat. They brought in Josh Sweat. And I remember hearing Fletcher Cox, somebody's retelling the story, and said Fletcher Cox said, hey, man, in this building, we bust our ass and we practice 100% full go. This is not a country club, so just be ready. And I thought that was interesting, because it's like when you set a particular expectation for being in this building, like, hey, you're coming into this building, you adapt to how we do things. Mm-hmm. We do things this way. It's been successful. And I think the core that is here is going to maintain that. And then anybody that comes in is going to understand that, yeah, Houston's a hot place to play. You know, listening to Will yesterday at his presser, talking about all the different guys that are at the Pro Bowl saying, hey, you know, we want to come down to Houston, we want to come down to Houston. Will was very quick to say after that, like, hey, if you're coming to Houston, just keep in mind, you're not coming in here to mess around. You're coming in here to work. You're coming in here to play ball. You're coming in here to be part of the culture. You're coming in here to be part of the whole thing. You're not coming in here to mess around. And I loved hearing that from him, and that's why I bring him up, because if you keep that core together, no matter what pieces you bring into that core, they're going to adapt to how the core wants things to be and how the culture of that core is, as opposed to the other way around. Like, oh, we just brought in this guy, and then that guy. Now, it doesn't mean that guy can't come in and be a leader. Like, Danielle Hunter coming in and being a leader, but he's going to do it in the style that the Texans are comfortable with and that core of players is comfortable with.
Well, speaking of the way we want the team to be, we all heard it. I'm not sure if we all did, but D'Amico Ryans asked about being the hunted. He said, we still want to hunt. He talked about the high expectations that are placed on the Houston Texans.
I appreciate the question, but we're always hunting. That doesn't change for us. We're always hunting. Expectations on the outside, whatever that may be, it really doesn't change who we are, right? The expectations from the outside don't permeate inside our building. And now we have to change what we're doing just because of outside expectations. It really doesn't matter. My message, our focus as a team is, it's always been consistent, the same as it was last year, is, man, you show up and we continue to get better every single day. You're the best at your position, you're the best for our team, then that's what wins games, right? For us, when everybody is really striving, putting the work in, right, to be better. And that's what it's all about. We don't care about expectations. Talk doesn't win games. We have to go out and play good football when that time comes.
Well, the expectation is, like he said, same as last year, they expect to play well and win, period. That's how he took last year on. And we heard the words in this time of year, training camp, and as we got into the season, and we were thinking, is he? Yeah, we knew he was serious.
Yeah.
But is he going to be right?
Right.
And he was right.
That's a good way of putting it. Is he going to be
is
right?
Is this going to be correct that they'll be able to play better and win games? Yes, they are, because they went from 3-10 and then won a playoff game. And man, what a year it was. And that's, you know, when you were saying it earlier, Johnny, about it was sad to see it over, not just because it ends, but because you know that group will not be together again the same way. And you want to see an even better group, but you really like the guys. Look, I like being around the players, and I like being around the players in 21 and 22 also. And some of those guys are still here, of course. But, man, last year's group was so special. But I like that they embraced the expectations. They, if you're going to be a good team in this league, you're going to have those expectations. You're going to have the primetime games. You're going to be the hunted. Everybody is going to give you their best game. You're going to get the attention of the opponent. All those cliches, but they're all true. We all know it, because how do you feel, even as a fan, if the Texans are taking on the Chiefs, if the Texans are taking on the 49ers? You are on high alert. You know that that's a huge game. And those teams respond very well to that. That's what the Texans need to do. Respond very well to being a team with the target on its back. We all got done with, or I'm not even done yet, the Patriots dynasty thing.
Yeah.
I think in many ways, as time goes on, I feel it already, people are going to take that success for granted that they had. And look, I hated them like poison, but because they were so good, among other reasons, and they embraced that. They dealt with it extremely well. You go into every season as a Super Bowl contender, if not the favorite, and more often than not, well, not more often than not, but very often, they got to the Super Bowl and won it.
One of my favorite things that I ever heard was watching America's Game for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2008, and they used to have this saying, it's a five-star matchup because we're in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think about, you know, all the games that the Texans have got to play this year, and against this team and against that team, and you mentioned a few of them, it's going to be a five-star matchup because we're in it.
Yeah,
that's the way this team has to think. Yeah. It's not, oh, my God, that's Buffalo on the other sideline. It is, no, no, no. This is a five-star matchup because we're in this game.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that was kind of hard for me, considering the last 3 years, to kind of get to that point. Like, man, this is a massive game tonight, not because of what's on the other sideline, but because these guys walking in this building, it's going to be a five-star matchup. And I think that's the way teams, when they start facing the Texans, it's going to be that. Hey, we got to face the Texans on this Sunday night game. Boy, this is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I heard that long ago when they did that America's Game, and I thought it was brilliant. Mike Tomlin had kind of given that as their mantra. And so you'd see him in warm-ups, and they would talk to the camera, and they'd be like, it's a five-star matchup because we're in it. And that's the way this team has to think. And the city has to start thinking that way. And yeah, it was fast and you know, getting this thing kind of turned in the other direction. Keeping it in that direction, I think paramount to that is believing that one thing. You are that good. You do deserve to be on that field with Buffalo in a primetime game, in your building, with Kansas City, in Arrowhead. You deserve to be there. And I feel like there were times, even in the good years, 18, 19, and even before that, I maybe didn't quite feel that way. This team has to feel that way. There are enough dudes on this team that when they walk into a building, it's like, whoa.
This is an either-or question, so we're breaking format here. Would you rather open against the Chiefs at Arrowhead on Thursday night, the opening game of the league, just like 2020, except not like 2020 in terms of result?
Sure.
Or, let's see, give me another good one. At Green Bay.
Oh, at Green Bay. I think the Chiefs will come out of the chute hot, considering how they didn't last year. I think they'll want to win that game.
Yeah, they lost that game.
They lost that game to the Lions. I think they'll want to come out of the chute hot.
Do we really want to watch them again? Can we just put away this tradition for now.
Nah. I'd rather watch anything else.
I want it to be us. I want it to be us in due time playing in that game.
That's true.
On Thursday.
How about if you repeat? No, of course you get to do it.
You get to do it.
It's their privilege.
You know.
Because you get the mini buy right after. That's the beauty of that game.
You get the mini buy, and then I don't think you get another Thursday game. I guess you can get
I think you can. Yeah, why not? They should have that because that's a premier team.
That's Amazon. Amazon wants it.
What about Detroit? Did they get another? They got Thanksgiving, of course, so I don't know how the rest of it went.
They had a Monday night game against the Cowboys. I remember that. I think a Monday night game against the Packers.
Back to the DeMeco jukebox cuts here from his podium appearance this week. What about players who have missed time? Tytus Howard, Kenyon Green. How are those guys doing? Let's get to it.
You have guys who've missed time. You talk about Tytus. You talk about Kenyon. Those are two guys we feel really good about up front for us. You know, we talk about our line being a strong suit for our team, and getting those guys back healthy will only add to our group, only add to what we're able to do up front. So I'm excited to see Tytus back healthy, excited to see Kenyon, right, competing healthy and to give himself the best shot to go out and show what he's capable of. So I don't think he's had that opportunity fully. So I'm excited to see Kenyon perform. He's been working out. He's been consistent every day. He's been putting the work in throughout the offseason. So excited for him.
What stands out regarding this is you're mentioning two starters on the O-line. I'll call Green a would-be starter because you didn't draft him where you drafted him to sit on the bench, right? And I'm not saying he starts right away if he's healthy, but he needs to climb into that role at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's call these guys starters for sake of argument. And obviously Tytus is a starter. But Tytus has had difficulty finishing seasons due to injury,
mm-hmm.
all right? And Kenyon, clearly, injury issues. So that's two of your five right there. I know they have more. I know they have more. They have some interesting prospects here and some good players. But this needs to get right. You cannot have any erosion here because mm-hmm. what if somebody else gets an injury and these guys aren't quite as healthy as they could be? Now, look, they'll all hit the starting line of training camp, I presume, good to go. But slogging it out through that training camp, which has an extra week attached to it. This is going to be interesting to see how DeMeco Ryans and the staff handle the players, the wear and tear aspect. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Nick Caserio on later this week, and I want to ask him about that because they've got to be thinking about that extra week of camp. They're losing a week of the offseason program. I guess it'll go from 9 down to 8, but they pick up the week because they report early due to the Hall of Fame game. How do they handle the bodies of the players with that long ramp up into the regular season and a 17-week schedule?
I know it's in July or August or whatever it is, but because it is in July and August, it is something the Texans are going to have to – it's a major part of the season.
Yeah.
Major part. Oh, well, all these games, it's a marathon. I understand. And think about a marathon. If you ran 26 miles, if you run mile 3 and just sprint it, well, at some point in mile 18, it's going to come back to bite you a little bit.
But Jeff Van Gundy used to make the point. Everybody talks about the NBA season being a marathon. He said, well, look at the marathon runners. They are hauling A. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, those guys run fast.
They do.
So his metaphor was, it's a marathon, but we're booking. We are in full throttle or near it anyway.
Yeah.
Most of the time, and the Texans need to be, but they got to figure out a way to keep bodies preserved because it is a long haul. It's the 17-week schedule. My goodness. Okay, coming up on the program, we got a lot of things happening today. We have Who's Better. I've got another DeMeco cut on a different subject that we're going to get to in the final segment, but coming up, draft stuff, quarterback stuff, Texans former player stuff. It's all happening in Who's Better, and it's next here on Texans Radio. Right back to it here on Texans Radio. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris with you, and we get to the game we like to call Who's Better. All right, it's not really a game. I just throw questions at Johnny Harris, but it's fun to play. You can play at home. See, you have the home version automatically. It's not like one of those game shows where you have to buy it or you hope to win it as a loser on the game show. Do they still have game shows? Yes, they do. All sorts of different versions of them.
They got plenty.
They have Password. Password is current.
Password's coming back,
What else do
they
have?
The Pyramid. I don't know what it is now. It's $100,000. It used to be $25,000. I think it's now $100,000.
It's $200,000 now or $100,000?
I don't know. I think it's $100,000.
It's for a bunch of money.
I think it's $100,000.
Yeah.
That's Michael Strahan hosting that.
I like the pyramid game.
I do.
I actually like that one. That one is very playable because it depends on the clues you get. You got to be a great clue giver in Password and in that game. I like those games. The Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is just one person. I know they get the lifeline and everything.
There was one game that Sean Pendergast told me about. It's called, it's from the Game Show Network, America Says. So it's a little bit like Family Feud. So they give them a topic, but then they show, but what they do is they have four people, and they show up on the board like 10 or 12 answers, and they give you like the first letter of each clue.
Okay, and you have to guess what America said about that particular subject?
Exactly. You know, America said these are the top five teams in the NFL, and they would have, you know, H-T, they would have S-F, they would have K-C-C, you know, and you'd have and you got to fill them in fast. And if you don't, then the game stops.
I don't like word puzzles. I'd rather just guess what it is, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather have hints or clues or maybe none and just guess what it is. Okay. Are you ready for Who's Better?
Let's do it.
All right. What's better to start Who's Better, Dalton Schultz campaign 2023 or Dalton Schultz campaign 2024?
Ooh.
Is this season going to be better than last season? I'll give you the numbers. 5 touchdown receptions, 59 catches last year. So you tell me, is he going to top 59 receptions and or 5 touchdowns? So this is just a stats thing. Look, he could block a lot better, catch fewer passes. The team's more successful. In fact, there's going to be a lot of that going around because you have so many different pass-catching options. But let's just stick to Schultz himself, Johnny. Thoughts?
Okay, I've got a theory. Here's my theory.
Yeah.
Here are the first 4 games of Dalton Schultz last year.
All right.
2 catches, 4 yards. 4 for 34, 1 for 9, 3 for 42. He was targeted in those 3 games just 10 times. Why was that? Oh, wait a second. And you mentioned it earlier.
Injury.
Injury to Laremy Tunsil at left tackle.
Oh, he had to help out.
He had to help out a lot more in the blocking. And then when Laremy came back, all of a sudden he started getting a few more in Atlanta, 7 for 65. New Orleans, 4 for 61. Tampa, 10 for 130. Cincinnati, 4 for 71. He didn't have to block as much. One of his other tougher games, and tell me what happened in this game, was Jacksonville at home. He had 1 catch for 2 yards. What happened in that game? Titus Howard got hurt. So now you got Juice Scruggs going in as a rookie. And so now Dalton's got to probably help out. I think his results get tied into the offensive line a little bit because of when he has to help versus when he doesn't have to help. If the offensive line stays healthy, I think that number goes from 59 at least 7 to 10 more.
Wow.
And I think he ends up, as long as he stays healthy, he missed a couple games too, but as long as he stays healthy, I think he can get up there. Now, again, the targets have got to get spread out, but I do think he goes above 59.
It's going to be interesting because when we do our real predictions coming up, and we're not going to do them yet.
Yeah.
Because I want to see who they get in the draft.
Sure.
But when we add up all the catches from the receivers and all the yards, has Stroud thrown for 6,000 yards? In other words, are we going Dick Vitale, 75 teams in the NCAA tournament bracket, right? Are we going there because these things have to add up? Or when people do their preseason predictions and you add up the division records, and well, they can't all win
right.
12 games, okay? Something's got to give. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you have to have the math add up. So we'll see. And maybe Schultz gets that, but you have these 3 other receivers. Oh, and this jumped out at me with C.J. Stroud. This kind of got buried. Mech.
Oh, yeah.
What he said about John Mechie.
Oh, it did not get buried for me. I played that last night with the Texas Jukebox. It was interesting to hear his comments.
I think that could be headline of the day yesterday. Headline of the day material.
Okay, so assess this hot take. Mm-hmm. I was talking to our buddy Derek Beeman.
Yeah.
And we were talking about...
He's in ticketing.
Yeah, he's in ticketing. Derek does a great job. Love him. I said, give me sizzle fires on this, on my hot take. I said there's a chance that they could look at John Mechie like their draft pick of this year.
Okay. I think Mechie, you're waiting for it. Last year was the first year back, but really his rookie year.
Really was, yeah.
And let's see what this year is like. If he had time to work out, get his body back even more, whatever he needs to do to acclimate to the NFL. They drafted him for a reason.
Sure.
I mean, they had high hopes for him.
Yep.
So can he get to that level that they're seeking? Could you imagine that?
Oh,
that Mechie turns out to be this game-wrecking wide receiver along with the rest of the crew? an embarrassment of riches.
I'll take it.
Look, you need it anyway. You need insurance. You need depth. We all know it. I don't have to say it again, do I? Class. But I am really eager about this because Vander Kidd, the only jersey he owns right now is still John Mechie.
It's a Mechie 8.
Yeah.
How about that?
He got Mechie immediately when Mechie was drafted. He loved Mechie, and that's the one he wears.
What I thought was interesting
was Vander Kidd.
CJ had been with him last year. So when CJ was asked and he talked about Mechie, I got the feeling just hearing what CJ was saying was that Mechie looks a lot different than he did last year. So he didn't have any, obviously, he didn't know him as a rookie, and he didn't really, nobody got a chance to see him in his rookie year of 2022.
Right.
But CJ did get a chance to play with him in 2023, and now he's thrown into him this offseason. And look, I know it's thrown on air. I get all that kind of stuff. I understand that. And there are some things that, you know, Mechie has to do a little bit better. There's no question, even when he got on the field. But if CJ is seeing that in just the time that he's throwing to him out in Los Angeles or whenever they have their throwing session, man, imagine what that could mean as they grow.
Yep.
And the reason I say that, and I said that to Derek, was I've been thinking all along, yeah, they went out and got Diggs. I don't think they should completely avoid the wide receiver position. I think they have to look at this wide receiver class because it's so deep all the way through it. Rounds 1 through 7 and beyond, you can find a player at wide receiver. And I got to a point where even this weekend when I was coming up with my 2-round mock, I almost gave them a wide receiver. I almost did. And I was like, no, I think they have still more distinct needs, but I think pick 86 could end up being a receiver.
I back you up 100% on this.
Now I feel like maybe not. Maybe they can do this on day 3.
All right, so you were thinking day 2 possibly. Yep. I still think, I back you up about receiver, not necessarily day 2. Just let them figure out where the best spot would be.
Right, right.
Because what did I say earlier? I think I said it last week. This time next year, or earlier than this, next year, you could be dealing with no Diggs and possibly no Nico Collins.
Correct.
So what are you going to do? It would be great if Mechie blossomed. Now you got Mechie, Tank. Could you imagine next year we could be going into the offseason if Nico ends up somewhere else because he's slated to be a free agent.
Right.
Now they could sign him as well. That's true. We just saw a signing in the last 24
That's
hours,
correct.
Right? What was it, 3 years, 75?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you, would you? You don't have to answer that right now. Let's get back to
I would. Absolutely, I would.
Let's see what they do.
It's
let's see what the market
whether,
is.
Would he do it?
Would he do I don't know if he does it or not.
It's betting on himself.
And, well, yeah, because Nico can bet on himself, but what were we just saying? There are only so many passes to go around, and, you know, Schultz catches 65, and Diggs gets this, and Tank gets that. How many will Nico get? But does that diminish his value to this or another team? I don't know. I can't answer those contractual kinds of things.
I do not want to think of a world without Nico Collins.
Neither do I. I think he's a Texan, and I love it that he was here in 21 and 22. I absolutely love it. I love it that Nick drafted him in the 3rd round, and the COVID situation, you didn't really know what you were getting, but you saw the raw ability, and now look at it.
Okay, so I think maybe I'm crazy.
He could be one of the great Texans receivers, and that's saying something. He already is.
This might be crazy.
In terms of a one-year bit of production. I know the other two, he did things. But when you look at 1,300 yards and the highest yard per catch average in the history of the franchise, even with Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins, that's saying something. Go ahead.
When you need a bucket, you got a lot of guys that can go get buckets. I feel like Nico's got... He can hit buckets from all over the place.
Yeah.
This might be crazy considering how the Texans with, you know, Rick Smith just wasn't going to negotiate during the season. What if Nico comes out and just balls out, or maybe just the first 2 or 3 games of the year, you just see Nico. He's just fitting in well. I'd give him a contract right there. I mean, I'd like to do it this offseason.
Yeah, you don't know what they're thinking. Like you mentioned, and I'm glad you brought it up because this is what people need to think about. What is the other side thinking? What is he thinking? What is his agent thinking?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know these things. Okay. By the way, we are well into this segment, and we've done one who's better. We just tend to talk.
Yeah,
all right, who's better, Trevor Lawrence or Jared Goff? Trevor Lawrence or Jared Goff? Who's better, John? This is a tough one. Didn't I pick a good one here?
It's a good one.
See? Like, who would you rather have?
Right now, today, it's Jared Goff.
Oh, okay.
Right now, today, it's Jared Goff.
Jared Goff.
I know you're smiling. You're smiling. I'm not even looking at you because I know you're smiling. I do feel like Trevor's going to get better, and the Texans have to prepare for that. But I just think Jared Goff has been so incredibly. I mean, the whole thing with LA, with the Rams, and he and McVay, I think, and to me, I think part of the fall for McVay was good because he had a certain way he did things, and he was so successful with that way. And he was immediately and totally convinced that Jared Goff was done. He was done. He was a throw-in in that trade for with Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit got two first-rounders.
Yeah.
And they got Jared Goff. Jared Goff was a band-aid. He was. Jared Goff has played very well in Detroit. Now, is he at that level?
No.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten there yet.
No, he's not.
He's not. And I don't think he's going to get there, but man, he's pretty damn. He is Alex Smith plus plus.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith always used to be that gauge of the above average quarterback and gets you the playoffs. Probably not going to get you much more. I think Goff is better than him, but I think he's still in that notch below the top guys. But he's in a notch below. Trevor is still in that world of what is he? Who is he? God, he made some great throws and had some great moments at 22, but you know, we covered horribly in that second game here, or otherwise he doesn't have that big game against us. But man, you see him rip a throw from one hash to the other sideline, and you're like, yo.
That video that I sent you of Trevor Lawrence in the tunnel versus CJ Stroud, these are pregame moments.
Yep.
And Trevor Lawrence and somebody, I think Memes had the caption on that video of Trevor Lawrence, which was, Trevor Lawrence could not motivate me to make a sandwich. Because he's like, all right, boys, time to show them what we can do. And CJ's, come on, we're too special. It doesn't end today.
Well, the thing it's about awesome. It, too, is that at some point soon, he was asked about it today at his press conference. Trevor was. You know, I'm not going to lie. The contract, it'd be nice to get a new contract. As soon as those words are coming.
Oh, no, he did not.
Yeah.
No, he did not say that.
This
is the first time hearing of that.
I'd be lying to you.
He said the C word?
He'd be lying to you if he wouldn't, you know, I can't remember how it was phrased, but essentially he'd be lying if he wasn't thinking about the contract a little bit.
Oh, my God. Don't tell the truth up there.
I know.
It's like when Ryan Tannehill said he was seeing a sports psychologist. No, don't say that.
No, you don't have to tell everybody everything.
There's nothing wrong with seeing the sports psychologist. Yeah. I want to be clear on this. But you don't really talk about that.
Yeah.
I just think it's a touchy situation.
Oh, here's what he said. Trevor, I can't lie. It would be nice to have the contract, done.
Yeah. Okay. What's he going to get? This is going to be interesting how they handle this.
Here's another quote from Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely been conversations about the contract. I'd love to be a Jag for as long as possible. We love it here and where we are headed as an organization. My best ball is ahead of me. It's not a focus right now. And then after that, I can't lie, it would be nice to have that done.
I'm appointing you general manager of the Jaguars right now.
No, why are you doing
that? Yes, I am. No. You are the GM of the Jaguars. No. What are you going to do?
I play it out.
You play it out. All right, so he's entering year four.
He's already got the fifth-year option.
Yeah, to be clear, he's entering year four, so he's still under contract for next year. It's not a franchise thing. He's under contract going into year five. I think he's turned into one of those guys where you have to play year four, and then you make your decision. Right. It's not one of those things necessarily. It might be by next year, but maybe play super well this year, and you say, now you get the deal.
Yep.
Going into year five, good. Has he earned? There's a special class of quarterback drafted in the first round where you get that extension after year three, which is where he is.
Right.
Is he in that class? I don't think so.
I'm with you. I think he falls into the Tua category. Tua got in the league in 2020, correct?
Yep.
A little struggle, finally got in there, got the offense kind of right with McDaniel in 22, 23. It starts to really kind of round into shape. They still haven't gotten a contract done. Look, I feel like you said, I feel like there are categories of guys you just know don't have it. Then there are guys where, like, we think he's got it. We're pretty sure. We're not about to give him this contract. Let's let him do a fourth year. But you know what? We're going to pick up the fifth-year option.
Right.
And then there are some you know right away. You know day one. You know, and
you
we
can
got
make him an
guys.
Offer, but it's not going to be what he wants.
Right.
I don't think.
Correct.
He's not one of the top flight quarterbacks
it's one of those
in this
league. We're really excited to give you this contract. Oh, man, I'm excited to see it. And you're like, wait, what?
It's an extra year, Trevor.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You want me for 3 years and $57 million? Like, yeah. Well, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's okay. Well, he's going to bet on himself, and maybe the Jags bet on him. I don't know. I would let him go through that fourth year. Look, he's got the fifth year option. It's great. Okay. He's here for 5 years, but I'm letting him play out year four.
All right. Next, who's better? We're going to get to a third one in this segment somehow. It's draft related. Who's better, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers? Who's better, Johnny?
Okay. You need one more word. Who's a better
fit
athlete? Better receiver, better draft prospect. You got to put one more word
in
there.
All right, so you have a top five pick and you need a receiver. Both guys are on the board.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Ooh, okay, because there's a little controversy here, or debate, I should
say. Well, here's part of the issue. Marvin Harrison Jr. chose not to test anything.
Yeah.
Not test at all.
So what?
He didn't test at all. But here's where it Malik Nabers did test, and Malik Nabers tested off the charts. 42.5-inch vert, he ran the 4.3 range. Like, he tested off the charts. And so there becomes this, well, we really don't know what Marvin Harrison is. Well, yes, you do. Watch the damn film. Yeah, you can look at him and see him do all the good wide receiver things. You know the stock that he came from.
Yeah. Put on the film, bro.
Put the film on, bro. You'll figure it out. Now, look, Malik Nabers has had those moments too. I just think the little nuanced receiver things, body control on the sideline, those kind of things, Marvin Harrison Jr. does extremely, extremely well. Malik Nabers, as a freakazoid athlete, can just run right by you from any spot on the field, get the ball in his hands, and make moves after the catch. He does that exceptionally well. So they're different from that standpoint. So it'd be tough to pick, but to me, Marvin Harrison Jr. is just a better receiver.
Okay, I've got two more. We'll save them for Thursday when we have the John McClain appearance and the rest of it. But coming up, and by the way, Nick Caserio on later this week, probably Friday for Nick. Coming up, D'Amico Ryan's another choice cut on something that's going down next week. It's not the draft. It's big, and we'll get his thoughts and reflect. It's Texans All Access. It's Texans Radio. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris with you. And going into the break, we said that we would talk about something that's happening next week, get D'Amico Ryan's to reflect on it, and we would reflect on it. And it's not the NFL draft. What is it? You guessed it. It's new uniforms. What did the head coach have to say during his podium appearance this week about new unis?
Yeah, I'm fired up about the new uniforms. It's 2024, time for a fresh look for the Texans. I know we've had the same uniforms, all right, since our organization started here in 2002. I was messing with the guys earlier about, I wore the same uniform that they were wearing, and I think it's time for an update. And credit to Doug, Cal, Hannah, all the work and time that went into coming out with the new look. I think our fans will be excited about it. I think the coolest part about the new uniforms, as you guys all know, is having our fans input into the look of our new uniform. I thought that was pretty cool, pretty unique by our organization, being able to talk to our fans and get a true feel for what our fans wanted to see. And of course, our players are fired up about the new look. So it'll be exciting reveal for next week for everyone.
And he mentioned Doug. That's Doug Vosick, Senior Vice President of Marketing, and the guy who's the point guard on this whole project. And Coach is not exaggerating. They did take the fans' input into big consideration here. The fans had major input. Now, if you're listening, you're thinking, I didn't vote. Listen, they can't talk to every single one of you, but they had numerous focus groups.
I didn't vote either, so.
And a fan council. I didn't vote either. I might have picked magenta. I don't know. Probably not. Probably not. But I think it's cool. And, you know, the fact that Coach played here, of course, we all know this. This is obvious, but every once in a while, I'm reminded of that again in a different way, a different context, if you will. He said, I wore the uniforms that you guys wore last year. So obviously, he didn't wear the color rush, right?
That's
correct. He never wore the red helmet. He wore all red with a blue helmet because that was 07 when they unveiled that look. The first battle red day was 03. So he got here after that. He got here in 06. Right. But anyway, he wore the uniforms, and now he gets to be part of the new unis.
Well, it reminded me yesterday of, you know, when the Jaguars unveiled, they're going back to their throwbacks. That's their alternate. They're going back. Yeah. And those are pretty sweet. I was living in Jacksonville all the time. I always liked those. And the fans were so excited.
I have to look at them. And
so there will be a day 15 years down the road where we're going to wear these jerseys.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and everybody's going to think, those are awesome.
They were
great.
We should
have never left them. I like our jerseys. I like the new ones. I like the old ones. I like them. I just...
Well, you know what I'm thinking, though? I love the battle red helmet, right?
We
unveiled
red
it in 2021, right? Or 2022.
2022. Yeah.
It was November 3rd against the Eagles in that weird night where the Astros were playing the Phillies in the World Series. That was weird. But it was cool to see the red helmet. Now, based on my reaction to that, I am so excited about what's to come here because, hey, what do they got? Let's see it. And look, I've had some glimpses, but I've seen so many different things as far as ideas, and some of them from the fans, I start to forget, wait, what am I looking at again?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, which ones? Where did it come from? Yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. The production value of the way this thing is going to be revealed to the general public is off the chain. You and I saw something yesterday. It is high Hollywood level. It is awesome.
Yeah, it was... I watched it, and I was stunned into silence. I was like, wait, that's us?
Yeah.
That is cool. I've wanted that for so long. That in itself is going to be awesome.
And by the way, I'll go full disclosure. Maybe not full, but some disclosure that you and I, we had a bunch of player interviews recently on the show.
Yeah.
And we've repeated some of them because they were so good.
Yeah.
And it was during a shoot for some of the players in the new uniforms, but not all the new uniforms. So
Correct.
We got a glimpse of them wearing one of the versions or whatever. So it's going to be cool. I think people will like them. There's something for everybody. It's going to be awesome. And when we have Doug Vosick on the show this week, we'll talk more about the whole process and everything. But I like that the coach is excited. All I want is this. This is my ask. And I haven't gone to Cal McNair, Hannah McNair, and Doug and Greg with this. My ask and the coach is that DeMeco still wears some kind of red dry fit during the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Can we please have that?
That's his thing.
That's his Landry hat, his Bum Phillips hat. That's his calling card to have the dry fit. I know when it's cold, he can't do that. But that is his look to me. Because, you know, he's all buff. Well, looks like he could suit up any moment. He's off by himself sometimes because he's at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
He's out of the coach's box, let's be honest, sometimes. And he's riling up the crowd. He's got the headset on. It's just such a great look. It inspires people. Let's continue with that.
Well, that just makes it all the more important that we play playoff games here at home from now on.
So he's not freezing his took us
off? So we can wear the red, his red jersey.
Yeah, the battle red, kind of battle red thing, and let's see what they have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's one of the first off the bus. He and Dan Campbell,
those
two come off the coaching bus, you know you're in trouble.
I'll disclose something else here. I had a peek at some of the gear, not uniforms, but other gear that they'll have available.
Like starting t-shirts next week. And hats
just
and stuff
like that, yeah. Johnny. Mm-hmm. This stuff's going to fly off the shelves. It is going to be ridiculously in demand, and I wanted to scoop it all up myself. And I'm not, you know, although I have a lot of Texan stuff, clearly, and I got to replace a lot of stuff.
That's exactly right.
Wearing a shirt today. I'm like, is that still going to be valid, or is that a retro shirt all of a sudden?
Well, there's no logo on this. It just says Houston, Texans, and I think that's still our font. I've had this shirt since 2014. This is like the first thing that you ever told me to go buy at the store.
No, we're going
and
pure.
And I still wear it.
We're going pure cursive. Goth lettering as well. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'll be cool. We'll all see it together. Johnny, thanks a lot.
You got it.
Tomorrow, it is going to be an episode of In the Lab as part of Texans All Access, among other things on the program. McClain Thursday, likely Nick Caserio on Friday. We'll let you know. Thanks so much for listening. Area 45 is next. Those guys have a lot to say on the Texans, Astros, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's Texans Radio. Go Texans.